adjust because we've got so much this morning. It's just awesome stuff. But let me adjust just a moment because I do need to impart just a little bit of this to you. In Acts chapter 4, if you want to turn there, I'm just take 5-10 minutes, and then we're going to pray. In faith, we may have to adjust a little bit, but I want to talk about acquiring a spirit of boldness for the mission of evangelism. We've talked about boldness in our heart of going before the Lord, but this thing of mission is always before us, and it's a strong, strong issue for us right now. In Acts chapter 4, verse 29 through 31, this is the scripture where after Peter and John had been persecuted by some religious leaders, and it'd been rough earlier in the chapter, they get together and have a prayer meeting, and this is what they pray. "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders performed in the name of your holy servant Jesus." Verse 31. "And when they had prayed," this is a prayer meeting, "when they had prayed, the place which they were gathered in was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness." I love this passage because it shows the apostolic wisdom that in the midst of a confrontation, a restriction to preaching the gospel, they prayed and did not ask for new strategy, new conference, new book. They asked for two things: fill us with a spirit of boldness and release your power to manifest, to bring people's attention to you. There's so much wisdom in this, guys. Last week we talked about the number one hindrance to evangelism and mission in our life is fear. Fear is the thing. Selfishness is competing right way high, but once you get the conviction and you know people need to know the gospel, it's fear that grips us and fear that keeps us back. Well, the opposite of that obviously would be courage and boldness. I love the stories about courage and boldness all through the scripture and through church history. In fact, in 1912, a guy named John Harper, who was a Scottish evangelist, whose wife had died on him a few years earlier, and he had one baby girl named Anna, he was hired to come and be the pastor of the Moody Church, the famous D.L. Moody Church in Chicago. En route there, this widower, and his daughter grabbed a boat to come on journey to America, and it was called the Titanic. And on the Titanic, they had the story that you know about the Titanic. He and his daughter are there, they hit the iceberg, and multiple people have testified of this story, which you may have heard, you may not have. But John Harper, this guy going to start a fruitful ministry in Chicago, an amazing thing to become the pastor of that place. The ship's going down. He gets his daughter's life jacket on, gets her in a boat, and goes screaming through the hallways, all children, all women, and all unsaved on the rafts. All women, all children, and all unsaved, quickly on the rafts. And then he began to preach the gospel as he ran. "Are you saved? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus? Do you know?" Just preaching and preaching. He had given his life jacket away, if I didn't tell that, to someone that he believed needed it. The boat goes down. He ends up in the water, as many of them did. He's floating around in the water. And this testimony came from this guy. There was a guy floating, hanging on to something that had broken off. And this John Harper comes by him, waves bringing by him. He says, "Brother, are you saved? Are you saved?" And this man says back to him, "No, I am not. I do not have confidence. I am not saved." And he said, "Only believe upon the Lord Jesus and trust in him and you'll be saved." And the waves took him away from the guy. And the guy floated there and floated there. And then a few moments later, the waves bring this John Harper back by him. He says, "Brother, now, are you saved?" And the guy said, "No, I am not. I do not have confidence I'm saved." And for the last time, he preached the gospel and said, "Brother, I plead with you, only believe upon the gospel. Trust in Jesus for your salvation and you will be saved." And then the inevitable thing happened and John Harper sunk and he died there in that ocean. The man who he had witnessed to was saved. He was one of six people saved out of this certain area that wasn't on the rafts. He, 4 years later, tells the story about this amazing story of John Harper steering the gospel up and down through the hallways and on the river on the ocean before he sank. And he said, "I was John Harper's last convert because in that last presentation, I believed upon the Lord Jesus and I was born again." And I read that story and I was like, "Lord, fill us with zeal. fill us with gospel zeal that would find it more important to get the gospel to people than for us to be saved ourselves on a sinking boat. This kind of boldness is what we need. I wrote in the midweek this week, and I mean it. I'd rather have 10 men with a spirit of boldness in them that breaks through the fear of man's opinion than 1,000 theologians or 1,000 ministry people who just sit in rooms and talk about this stuff and do not thrust forward in rescue mission. Give me some men and make me a man with a spirit of boldness that breaks through this fear. The opposite of all that is fear is courage and boldness. The church under attack knew we don't need new strategy to face people who are going to kill us. We need a spirit of boldness. We need a spirit of boldness on us, flowing through us, so we can go forward and we can preach this gospel. Joshua knew it in the Old Testament. Multiple men are told, be bold and be strong. Be bold and be strong, because fear will rip you off. It'll cause you to hesitate. It'll cause you to pull back. It'll cause you to worry about what other people think more than what the Lord thinks. So the Lord calls His people over and over. The number one command in your Bible, do not fear. Do not fear. Hundreds and hundreds of times, as it said. And how we do that is by having boldness. Very quickly, I want to encourage you. How do we attain that boldness? It's simple. Number one, three simple things. Number one, we need to have personal encounter with Jesus. Earlier in the chapter in Acts 4:13, you know this verse. It says, now when they saw, the religious leaders, the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived, love this, that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Personal encounter with the most courageous one, the one who has no fear, is what releases courage into our lives. Think with me for a moment. How fearful do you think Lazarus was after the resurrection? You think he struggled with fear issues? In John 11, Jesus raises him from the dead 4 days later when he had stinketh. Raises him from the dead. He comes out. What an experience that must have been. One chapter later in John 12, verse 10, Jesus's the rejection of him is such a high pitch, that verse says, so they conspired to see how they could kill Jesus and Lazarus. When that news got to Lazarus, do you think that bothered him? I'm kind of wondering if he went, been there, done that. Go ahead, kill me. I know the one who can raise me right back up. Because he'd had personal encounter with Jesus. Personal encounter with Jesus alone in a room builds courage. Personal encounter with Jesus when you're in your finances and it's trouble and you choose courage to believe God for deliverance instead of fear, I'm telling you, it builds up layers and layers of courage to where you will face anything for the glory of His name. Number two, prayer for the Holy Spirit filling us with manifesting boldness. That's what we just read about. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, obviously here, power-filling, room-shaking Holy Spirit, is boldness begins to be manifest. When we're unfilled with the Spirit, filled with us, we really care about what everybody thinks and about how our life's going. But when you get filled with the Spirit, a boldness begins to manifest. And I must make this point again, uneducated, common, unprepared, non-conferenced men, filled with the spirit of boldness, going forward, handling the Old Testament prophetically, speaking in power, because they were men of prayer, and they were men that were filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm begging every day, along with my repenting. Last week I asked you, please repent of fear. Don't play with fear. It's a bad deal. There seems to be no margin of error in the Lord's eyes for us to walk in fear. It kills us. We repent of it. He's not like, I'm okay with 90% boldness and 10% fear. He wants no fear in us because He loves us. You got to repent of it, repent of it, repent of it. Get it gone and then pray. Lord, fill me with a spirit of boldness so I can go forth in Your power. And obviously, lastly, number three is persuasion about God's ability to fulfill His promises. And this is all through the Scriptures. I've got a verse here in Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. It's awesome. That Abraham, old man Abraham, is who this is talking about, not Abram, the struggler who produces Ishmael. Abraham, that almost dead man who's finally trusted God, was fully convinced, fully persuaded, is what I've got in one version in 21. Fully persuaded that God could do what He had promised. Courage is built through a deep personal taking in of the Word of God. It's not going to work, you just writing it on your refrigerator. It's not going to work, you just memorizing verses that stay right up here. You got to get the Word down in here, and you believe it, and you're bold, and nothing can happen in your life except the promises of God being fulfilled. All things must work together for my good. Everything. I don't care if me sharing the gospel gets my rejection from my neighbors, gets rejected from the family, whatever happens to me, it's all going to work together for good because he said it would. He's always going to supply all of my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. We got to get that word deep in our hearts. So, personal encounter with Jesus, filling with the Holy Spirit and praying regularly this prayer, fill me with boldness, because we got to break through and confidence in the word. Listen, we had a little thing, and I want to give you this before we go. We had a prophecy given from one of our apostolic brothers in Africa who will be here in 6 weeks. He's just an awesome guy. He's trained thousands of pastors, hundreds with us over there in Africa right now. And he's in Accra, and his name is James, and he'll be here in just a little bit. But I sent out a text to, we got about 100, 150 people on the prayer text thing, and I'm continuing to try to get names in there as we build this in-the-moment prayer team that prays for requests. But I sent you out not a prayer request, I sent this word. And here was the word he sent me on July 30th. He said, and he's a praying, dreaming man. It's awesome. Enter into the month of August with lots of prayer fire. The month is pregnant with divine encounters and uncommon breakthroughs. Listen, you will testify in Jesus' name, Bishop James. This word got in my heart. I just want to leave it up here for a little bit. I want you to begin to activate your faith if you can. Believe in the Bible. This is a brother that's great. This is a great word. I'm walking my neighborhood. I'm just going to testify this really quick. I so want to meet my neighbors. Amy said, I felt like I was pregnant. I mean, it's just stirring in me. It was bothering me, and I was being irritable at home, and Amy's praying with me. I can't meet my neighbors. I can't. I'm walking the neighborhood. I'm praying. July 29th, July 30th, walking through, getting that for the week before. I've been walking. I mean, people wouldn't make eye contact with me. And I know I've joked before about how I'm a stalker when I'm walking around doing these things, but Larry north of me would not look at me. And I'm like, Larry? And he just, hey, Larry, how you doing? Oh, good, Sam, you know? I'm like, I can't even get him to stop to have a conversation with me. I prayed, prayed, and prayed, and then this word came and faith built in my heart. And on August 1st, Friday night, I'm going on a date with my redheaded pregnant wife, and it's going to be awesome. We got to go out. I went out for a jog, came back, and within the matter of an hour, I met 5 to 6 of my neighbors. Boldness came on me, and I walked up to the drug house. You know, boldness came on me, and the guy who walks by our house every day, he rides his bike by our house in the morning. He staggers his bike past us in the afternoon. And I walked up all that time. We've helped him up off the pavement. I never had a conversation with him. And something entered my heart. Boldness stirred up. I'm like, man, how you doing? What's going on? What's your name? And he tells me, da 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 da. And then he tells me he's from a big family, 12. And I go, really? So what, are you Catholic or something? He goes, yeah, I am Catholic. I go, then you believe in Jesus. And he's the savior of your sins. And he looks at me in kind of a stagger and says, are you a preacher? I go, yeah, dude, I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, don't worry about that, though. I do this anyway. And I share the gospel with him, and we walk along staggered. And I've made a connection with that guy. It's going to be fun. Met another guy, Larry, who wouldn't look at me. July, on August 1, I'm walking down the street. I've already met 4 or 5 people. I'm ready to go into the house. There's Larry, and Larry's staring at me. Larry looks like he wants to talk to me. So I go over to Larry. And I start talking to Larry, who is, you know, doesn't have much to do with Jesus right now. But we had this amazing conversation about the Lord, about spirituality, about church, and make this connection. And he promised he would talk to me a bit more about such things. I tell you, and I'm promising you, that God's giving us vision for the harvest. We want to fill these meetings. And I know we filled it up, and Faith's going to share a story next week. Faith, I'm sorry, I'm punting you. But we want to share stories about gospel sharing moments. And I want to be in a community of people that pray, filled with spirit, but we're giving ourselves to this gospel mission. The Lord has refreshed my heart to believe for the harvest in this area. And it's going to happen when boldness fills us. We don't need any more theology, I don't think. I think you know the story. I think the story's happened to you. It's getting through the wall. And I don't mean, remember, you sitting on a plane or walking down the road with Tony and saying, listen, if you die today, you're going to burn in hell if you don't accept Jesus, all right? That's not the way we're doing that. What we're doing is we're just engaging them in a conversation. And in that conversation, we're listening to the Holy Spirit, and we're going to get to Jesus eventually as the Lord leads. We can do this. You can do this. We have story after story. We got stories. What we're finding, and I'll close with this, what we're finding is when we engage the discussion, the Father had already been working in their lives. Everybody I've ever led to Jesus, they already had been having spiritual experiences. They had already been having something happen to them, but they couldn't interpret it. I promise you, that's what you'll find. You'll start to find that things have been happening around their lives, and you'll be there at the right moment, the right time, to be able to minister to them. But you're not going to break through that without a spirit of boldness. Without a spirit of boldness. And I know the Lord is going to raise up these stories and give us this. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord for this morning. We just did a lot. Lots of words, lots of testimonies, lots of worship. We pray that this helps you, disciples. We love you. And you're going on mission. We love your mission. It's your mission, not ours. It's not New Life's mission. It's Jesus' macro plan. And he's using you. And you keep your eyes open this week. It's going to be an amazing week. Father, thank you that you're transforming our condemning hearts to hearts that just love you and are free, joyous in Jesus. Thank you for that. Lord, fill us with more and more passion to be with you and experience you. And then, Lord, get us out of the room. Get us out of the Bible study. Lord, let us go deep in the Bible and then move us. Move us out to engage the lost and to engage the harvest. Thank you that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Would you thrust forth workers into the harvest field? I pray for business owners. I pray for workers, teachers, nurses, docs, everybody in the room, every job, mechanics, everybody, truck drivers. Lord, I pray. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, and may they see the mission field that's before them. And Lord, use us as new life to bring new life to many people. We love you. We thank you for what you've ministered to us this morning. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Hug and kiss a few people.